Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name to give you glory and honor and praise. And Father, just to say thank you. Lord God, we just appreciate, Lord God, everything that we have heard, everything that we have seen, everything, Lord God, that we have received. We are so thankful, for Lord God, for our apostle, all the instructors, Lord. And Father, I especially thank you for these students, Lord. Those who are here, those who are participating online, Lord God. Father, I bless their homes and their families, Lord. Father, I thank you that everything that they have heard, Lord, this is just the beginning. I give you praise, and I give you honor, and I give you glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all know that I like to tell you everything about exams up front, right? So that I won't forget, that I won't forget. Your exam will be next week. It'll be posted Monday, from Monday to Monday. I know it's going to be covering chapters 6 and 7. I don't remember if there was anything in, it might have been like the end of chapter 5. I don't remember. Anybody remember? I know 6 and 7. But just go back to your quizzes, look at the quizzes, and look at exam 1 and 2. Can y'all look at the exams from before? Okay, look at those exams, and then whatever we have covered since that time. So far, according to my notes, we have looked at praise and worship. We spent a lot of time on the prayer of praise and worship, the prayer of petition and supplication. Last week, we looked at the prayer of intercession, consecration and dedication, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of waiting upon God. These are all according to our author. And we ended last week on the prayer to bind and loosen. Am I right? Yeah. All right. Okay. Apostle said it, you know, so well. But I think for me, you know, since my class is the last class, you know, I want to thank y'all, first of all, for receiving me. Amen. Amen. I have really, really enjoyed this year. I wasn't as nervous. I was nervous, but not as nervous as last year. Second year students, remember when I came in, y'all have been an excellent class. I've appreciated y'all. I don't remember seeing too many people sleeping, you know. You know, y'all were tired, and I understand, you know, y'all were tired. But thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm sure we'll be seeing y'all as alumni when you come back.
Amen.
I do want to touch on the 4 remaining prayers. Like I said, we looked at the prayer bind and loosen, the prayer of agreement. We have talked about the prayer of wisdom and revelation. Remember, that's the one that we prayed according to Ephesians 1. He calls it corporal prayer, but we know it as corporate prayer. And then the prophetic prayer. Amen? Just a couple of points. And again, I encourage y'all to read the chapter. Let's see if it was anything. We looked at the prayer of agreement. No, we didn't look at the prayer of agreement. That's where we are, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the prayer of agreement. Okay, everybody have a good idea of the prayer of binding and loosening. Okay, I shared that you can't bind people. Right? Can't bind people. Bind means to prohibit, declare something. Remember the words illegal. You know, whatever is illegal in heaven, you know, those are the things that you can bind here on earth. You can loose those things that are legal, you know, here on earth that are legal in heaven. This process allows you to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth and declare it legal by delivering the oppressed, opening the doors of the captives, and letting go of those who are now held in bondage by the enemy. That's the prayer of binding and loosening. That's what you want to do. Amen? Okay, the prayer of agreement. In Mark chapter 18, the author refers to verse 19. Mark 18 and 19. You know, this is the prayer. I had a little note here, you know, where people get their prayer partners. Have y'all ever heard of prayer partners? Okay. Y'all might think twice about that after the night. Amen. Mark 11 and 19. And it says, let's see. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I'm reading, remember, always from the King James Version. I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm sorry. I'm reading Matthew. Okay. I am so sorry. Let's see what Mark 18, 19 says. Because I got Mark in my notes and I read Matthew. But it's also saying agreement. Hold on. Pardon? Okay, so it's Matthew. It's Matthew. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so Matthew. So I had it right. Okay. The prayer of agreement. Talking about coming in agreement with two people. And the author, he says, this is a prayer where two or more believers stand in agreement before the Lord. The word agreement means to believe and to speak the same thing. Now, when you come in agreement with someone else, like a prayer partner, you got to make sure that those individuals are believing the same thing that you believe in. Right. You understand? You know, a lot of times, you know, we ask people to be our prayer partner, but you don't know what that other person is believing. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's a husband and a wife. Now, a husband and a wife can come in agreement, and I mean tremendous power is available. But outside of that, and your pastor, okay, amen. You know, you can talk to your pastor, and your pastor can agree with you. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're calling somebody and you're saying, be my prayer partner, come in agreement, and they say, yeah, child. I saw this with my mama. That's how I know. And, you know, when they hang up, they say, Lord, I don't know what she talking about. I can't see how that's going to happen, you know. So, you know, that's just the way, that's just human nature. And then sometimes you say, pray for me, and they say, okay, and then they forget. You know, and this is why I tell people, look, when you ask me to pray, I'm going to pray for you right now so that I won't have that opportunity to forget. But, you know, I'm not saying don't have prayer partners. I'm just saying make sure that you're in agreement. Remember what the author is saying. Two or more believers stand in agreement before the Lord, believing the same thing, speaking the same thing. Amen? Amen. Okay, what steps should you take to pray the prayer of agreement? Look for someone you can pray with. Okay, according to the guidelines I just told you about. Agree on what you will be praying for. Talk about it. You know, this is what I'm believing. This is the scripture that I'm standing on. Amen? Amen? After praying and presenting your petitions to God, you need to confess what you've asked for and give thanks continuously. And give God thanks for the answer. You've got to do that as well as the person that's coming in agreement with you. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, husband and wife, that's a team. Amen? So just remember, two or more people coming in agreement. Wisdom and revelation, that's the prayer that we prayed according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Remember that when we prayed for that? And he calls it the prayer of wisdom, and I said for wisdom. And revelation. The enemy will always want to keep you away from any revealed truth because he knows that if you receive knowledge in any area, you will have the keys to the kingdom and the understanding that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Revelation places the keys of the kingdom in your hands. Revelation. See, that's what you're asking for. In your hand, and it gives you the authority to bind and loosen, to close and open, to allow and to prohibit on earth and in heaven. The author gives us a Greek word, And he says, it's for revelation, and it means to undress, to remove the veil from a hidden truth. It is to see something in Scripture that was not seen before. Amen? To see something that you hadn't seen before. And then he refers to Matthew 16:13. The revelation of the Word of God always comes into the heart and not into the mind. Okay? Revelation from God, it comes into your heart and not into your mind. Amen. If I have time, I'll come back to that. The corporate prayer. In this prayer, the entire congregation or group of people stand in agreement for a specific purpose. What I want you to remember here is that corporate prayer is done in unity. Now, we pray corporately here, Monday nights, and before Wednesday night service and before Sunday morning service, okay? But there has to be unity. We're all praying the same thing. I can't be praying for my son when we're supposed to be praying for the service, you know? You pray for the service and God gonna take care of your son. He knows what's going on. But there has to be unity. That's the main thing. One thing that will make God manifest himself in all of his glory and splendor, and that one thing is unity. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 2. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen? So in this corporate prayer, we want to emphasize the word unity. Then the author talks about a prophetic prayer. This kind of prayer is used to declare, confess, and decree through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, his plans, and his purpose. Amen? A prophetic prayer. How can you pray the prophetic prayer? With the leading of the Holy Spirit. A prophetic prayer, according to our author, is a proclamation and a decree of God's will on earth. And he refers us to Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. He says, confess and declare the scripture with understanding. Found in Ezekiel 37:3-9. The spoken word has great power. The word of God brings forth life when you prophesy, when you proclaim it and speak it into that which is lifeless, to broken marriages, to sick bodies, and to failed businesses. You are what you declare in prayer that you are. I'll say it again. You are what you declare in prayer that you are. Amen? Therefore, begin to declare the word every day. Speak, declare, and prophesy to everything that goes against God's word. Amen? Now, I've heard somebody say, so-and-so prophesies, so they must be a prophet. Okay, let me clarify. The prophet is an office. It's a fivefold ministry office. Not every person who prophesies is a prophet, but every prophet prophesies. Amen? The gift of prophecy, I heard Apostle talk about it tonight, 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12, where he talks about all the gifts of the Spirit. You know, and prophecy, it's a gift, but it's as the Spirit wills. I mean, you just can't come in here and say, well, I'm gonna prophesy. No, but it is a gift. But just because you prophesy, it does not mean that you are a prophet or a prophetess. Amen? So that's the one point that I wanted to make clear. That you understand that. Now, when he's talking about the prophetic prayer, a lot of times when you're praying, especially in the Holy Ghost, phrases, verses will begin to come up. how you respond to that, you speak it out. Amen. Amen. You know, God says to you, all is well. Then you say, thank you, all is well. Amen, because he's trying to get something, you know, over to you. And then a lot of times the Holy Spirit will bring scriptures up. You go ahead on and you speak it out. Amen. What did your author say? He says, so the spoken word has great power. Yeah. Talking about the word of God. Amen. 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 I got time. Is it in the Revelation? You know, when the author is talking about when we pray the prayer of wisdom and revelation. In this prayer, the believer asks God for wisdom and revelation. Now, revelation, you know, apostle has been you know, teaching us for years. Just remember, I think our author helps us when he says to undress, to remove the veil from a hidden truth. It is to see something in Scripture that you have not seen before. Amen. I'll give you an example. You know, from my own, I can only give an example from my own life. You know, a few years ago, you know, I was under attack, and you know, I had prayed, and I heard this word, okay. And I'm gonna be honest with you. At first, I didn't even understand it being from God, you know, because when you're going through something like that, you know, your mind, you know, is just like, you know, everything is just up in the air with you. And then I heard it again. And I can remember saying, Lord, is that you? You know, and the only thing that really, really helped me was I remembered that apostle had said the same words in the service. That's why it's so important to be at church. You never know when your word is going to come and it's going to have an impact on your life. You never, ever know that. So I stood on that, you know, I stood on that, and the word was, it ain't nothing, okay? And so my focus had been on nothing. I got me some nothing scriptures, and I read my scriptures, and I read my scriptures, and I was standing on my scriptures. And then I was sitting in the service, and an apostle said something about the manifestation and the importance of meditation. He says, and if you haven't seen, he said, go back and meditate. Okay. I said, oh, okay. So meditation, revelation. Okay, remember that. When you meditate on God's word, then God will begin to reveal things. He'll begin to unveil, just like the author is saying. You know, you'll begin to see things in the scriptures or see things in the word that you've never seen before. I will never forget. So I took that word, it ain't nothing. And I said, okay. I'm going to meditate. And I got to the word it, okay? And when you're meditating, you're muttering. You might say the same word over and over. You might say it different ways. And each time you say it, you know, might have a different connotation, a different meaning. And from what I can remember, I might have said it. Yeah, I felt so stupid. You know, I said it. And probably about that third time, I heard these words on the inside of me. Look at it and look at God. Okay? Look at it and look at God. And I lost it. I just completely lost it. Because when I began to look at what I was dealing with and compare that to God, I began to see how big my God was. I began to see how powerful. I did. See, this is the way God is going to reveal to you.
Yes.
You'll begin to see things in scriptures or in the word that he has spoken to you. Amen. That you have never seen, you have never understood, and you know it didn't come from me.
Right.
Amen? Amen? So that's what the author is trying to get over to us. When he tells us that he wants us to pray for wisdom and for revelation, when we're reading scriptures, you know, you don't just want to read the scripture like you're reading a story, like you're reading a novel. He said it tonight. Luke, is it Luke 24, 31, open my eyes? Is that the one? And then 45 is open my understanding? Okay, one is open my eyes and one is open my understanding. You want to ask God to do that when you're reading the scriptures. Because you see, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. God wants you to know. That nothing's supposed to be hidden from you. Right. Amen. Nothing is supposed to be hidden from you or from me. Amen. He wants you to know. All you have to do is ask him. And then when we begin to read the scriptures, it's not given to everybody to know that. Apostle tells us, he says, it wasn't hidden from us. It was hidden for us. Okay? Because God didn't want no anybody getting a hold of these mysteries and these secrets and these truths of heaven. He has planned this for his children. Amen? Amen? And so when we ask him to open our eyes and to open our understanding. I'm so accustomed to saying, give me eyes that can see and ears that can hear and a heart to understand. I got caught in that. But I told y'all when I read, open my understanding. You see? And God wants to begin to, he wants to begin to open that up. And he will. Amen. Amen. He will. And don't forget, prophesy. Mm-hmm. Prophesy. Prophesy over your lives. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, our author calls it a prayer. And then he ends with praise and worship. And, you know, we did a whole lot on praise and worship. So the same way you began your prayer, that's the way you want to end your prayer. We saw that's the way Jesus prayed. Remember when we went to Matthew chapter 6? You know, Jesus praised the Father in the beginning, and he praised the Father at the end. Amen? All right. I just wanted to talk to you just a teeny bit about fasting. This may not be on the test. This may not be on the test. It's just the next chapter, and I already had it on my outline. The main thing is fasting and prayer is a powerful tool in the hands of the believer. Yes. But it does not change God. Amen? Amen. Fasting changes you. It changes you. It does not change God. So, you know, that would be the only thing that I want you to know about fasting. You have your book. If you have a chance, you can always go back and you can read that chapter on fasting and prayer. But the main thing is it's not going to change God. You don't fast to get God to change his mind about something. Amen. You know, you fast so that you can get yourself in a position so that you can hear and receive from God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Any questions? Anybody? No? Okay, I know I rushed through this. I'm so sorry. But I wanted to get in those, was it four? I think it was four, huh? Agreement. Wisdom and revelation, which we had already done, corporate and the prophetic. All right, that's all I have. I've enjoyed it. Y'all have been a great class. Y'all have really, really been a great class. All the second year students, I want to congratulate you. Congratulate you, and I'm sure I'll be seeing y'all at some of the meetings. Amen. 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 Y'all be blessed.
We appreciate you.
Amen.